Thank you, Father Gill, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially those of you who are going to be confirmed this evening. Usually on Sunday and Saturday when I preach about all three readings, but we're going to have a long ceremony this evening because we have so many to be confirmed. So I'd like to just talk about two or three themes that are important for us to think about as we celebrate this Feast of Pentecost and as we celebrate the Sacrament of Confirmation. First of all, Pentecost, like so many things in the Catholic Church, has its roots in the Jewish faith, in the Old Testament. You might remember that God led the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea. It was called the Feast of Passover, which corresponds to the Feast of Easter for us. And then 50 days later, God gave the Torah, the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai. And so 50 days after Passover, the Jewish people celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, which means the 50th day. And in the Catholic Church, we celebrate the Feast of the Coming of the Holy Spirit at that time. Now that explains why there were so many people in Jerusalem. They had come to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost in the Jewish way. And at that moment, God sent His Holy Spirit upon them. Now, in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we saw that the Holy Spirit made His presence known through two visible signs. One was what is referred to as the wind that came, I gotta find the right words here, in a very strong way. It says a strong and driving wind. And the second way the Holy Spirit revealed Himself to the community was in the form of tongues of fire over the heads of those who were to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, you can't see the wind, right? But we can see the things that it does. We can see its effects. Just as we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christian people. And the wind that's described here is not a whispering wind, but a strong driving wind, which means that the Holy Spirit wants to make a significant difference in our lives, to make our Christian witness strong and obvious. The flame of fire, what does fire do? Well, it burns, but it's also a symbol of vitality, of life, of energy. And what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the church is that the church got new life, right? And new vitality and new energy. And we pray for the same gift for those of you who are going to be confirmed, that the Holy Spirit will act strong in your life and drive you into being good Christians. And also that the Holy Spirit would give vitality to your faith and make it fresh and new and strong and obvious for people to see. Okay. Now in today's second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul tells us, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody can read those words. So what did he mean, nobody can say Jesus is Lord? He meant nobody can say it and mean it unless the person is driven by the Holy Spirit. And so the question I ask you who are going to be confirmed is, do you mean it? Is Jesus Lord? Or is someone else the Lord in your life? What does it mean to be Lord? It means to be the master, the one in charge, right? The most important. And who is the Lord of your life? Is it your girlfriend? Is it your husband or your wife? Is it money? Or more unfortunately, is it yourself? You know, it's generally the one that's the Lord of my life is myself, you know. I want to keep my life for myself. But if the Holy Spirit's present in us, and we pray for that gift today, that means we change, and that Jesus becomes the Lord. Not President Obama, not the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, not money, not relationships with other people, not even ourselves, but the Lord. We ask for that gift today. And finally, in today's gospel, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, and he describes the Holy Spirit in two ways, as the advocate and as a teacher. If you go to court and you want to defend yourself, you hire a lawyer to be your advocate, someone who speaks for you and defends you and helps you. And Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit that he sends to the church is here as our helper in all the circumstances of our life, in all of our decisions. We can rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit to help us. Also, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is the teacher who's going to reveal to us what Jesus did, remind us of what Jesus did, and to reveal to us everything. Now, I used to be a teacher in a college, and I had all kinds of different kinds of students. And so the question I want to ask you, when it comes to the Holy Spirit teaching you, what kind of student are you? You know, the ones I remember are the following. First of all, some students were know-it-alls. They thought they knew everything. They didn't have to be taught because they knew it all already. And unfortunately, some of us are like that when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We resist the Holy Spirit because we think we know it all. I've heard it all before. I don't need to know that. I'm okay the way I am. But that's not the proper attitude of a student towards the Holy Spirit as teacher. Okay, the second kind of student that I had in class when I was teaching college were the students who were bored, lazy, and uninterested. They're not quite as bad as those who thought they knew it all, but they're pretty bad, you know. And I think this describes many of us. You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit teaching us how to be Christians, we are bored, or we're lazy, or we're not interested. It sometimes shows itself in how we go to church on Sunday. You know, some of us don't go at all because we've heard it all before, or because it's boring. We don't get anything out of it, you know. Or we're lazy. We stay at home and sleep in bed, or we go play golf, something that satisfies ourselves rather than something that pleases God. But when I was a teacher in college, the most common kind of student was a student who was half-hearted in learning. The student who wanted to get a passing grade, but that's all the student wanted. Didn't really want to learn the subject, but just wanted to pass the course. And how many of us are like that in terms of our Christian life? I think all of us here. If we want a passing grade, we want to get to heaven, but we don't want to do very much more than that. We don't want to be excessive in our Christian life. And then there was a kind of student that made me very happy and is a kind of student that every teacher likes, and that's the student who was enthusiastic and wanted to learn because he thought that learning would make a difference in terms of his future, that he could help people more if he knew something, or that he would be better equipped for his skill at work if he learned and studied. And that's the kind of student that you and I need to be when it comes to the Holy Spirit coming to us and teaching us the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my dear confirmands, you don't know it all. You need to learn from the Lord. Don't be lazy or indifferent. Don't just get by with enough to pass. Be enthusiastic disciples of the Lord, and the Lord will do wonderful things with your life. Now, many years ago, for some of you, a few years ago for others, your parents or your godparents brought you to church, and you were baptized. You couldn't speak for yourself. You were too young. In fact, you couldn't walk into the church by yourself. They had to carry you. But here we are today. How old are you? How old? 13. So here we are, 12 or 13 years later. Some of you were older than that. And did someone carry you into church today? Someone carried you here? No. You walked on your own two feet, right? And when I ask these same questions that your parents answered for you when you were baptized, are they going to answer for you today? No, who's going to answer? You are. So you're going to confirm for yourself the promises that your parents and godparents made for you when you were baptized. That's what confirmation means. You're confirming your Christian faith. You're recommitting yourself to the promises of your baptism. And in response to that offering of yourself, Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit as a gift. Strong, powerful, on fire, calling us to be enthusiastic disciples of the Lord. May God bring to completion the good things He begins in your lives again today.